This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you. We thank you that your presence is here, Father. We pray that your word will change us today, Lord. I pray that each and everyone under my voice, and I pray that your Holy Spirit will take control my voice, and that it will be your word that convicts us, Father. And we just know we stand here, we know that it's only by your presence, it's only by you changing us that things happen, and we cannot try in our own strength, Father. And we just want to lay that down and surrender this morning. I pray that each and everyone will, as the sermon goes on, Lord God, just find something else that you convict them to lay down, to surrender, because we are sometimes just so afraid. We're just afraid. And we can acknowledge that. And then you can work with that, Lord God. But your word says that you cast out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will cast out certain fears in our lives this morning. Just where you are, I just feel that if you're afraid of something this morning, it's overwhelming, that you just lay that down in your own words. Just say, God, I'm afraid of this. But your love says it. Your word says that your love casts out, perfect love, casts out that fear in Jesus' name. Just lay that at his feet and ask him to work with that today, to work on that issue in your life in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, we just surrender to you. Father, we thank you for the process that you're taking us through. We thank you for this journey. It's never dull. It's never bland. It's always just infused with your intimacy, even though we might go a little bit to the sides and wander away from you, Father. You're steadfast. You don't change, and we just glorify you for that, Father God. Because when you come back, we just meet the same Jesus, we meet the same one, the one we met first. He never changes. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, everyone. You can have a seat. How's everybody? Are you fine? Welcome. Yeah, I see a lot of, I'm not seeing old faces again. How do you say that? I need to be very careful. I see a few old faces. No, just people I haven't seen for a while. That's what I mean. Welcome, Jessica, Pearl, and the Dr. Gierke. Sebastian and his family. Welcome. Yeah, I don't know who else. Am I missing anybody else? No, I think I've got it. Oh, I've got a school principal here as well. So I need to I need to be on my toes. We started last week with a series. What's the series called? Complete Makeover. So that's nothing to do with plastic surgery. Okay, are you with me? Maybe it's part of that. Maybe the last sermon will be about plastic surgery. No, please not. But we're busy with this series, Complete Makeover. It sounds like one of these reality shows. Isn't there one like that? Not that I would know. I really don't know. Carl started with the first sermon on... what did he preach about? I was here last week. But new life. Okay, I'm going to talk a lot about it again today. And maybe I'll try and be a bit quicker with the English. Carol, when must I finish? You give me when I've got 5 minutes left, you tell me. Now, new desires. Desires. What are our desires in life. Now, when I looked at my sermon this morning again, I thought, oh my goodness, am I talking enough about desires, or am I just talking about a lot of other things? But anyway, I can't change the sermon now. I need to talk about the following. But so, I will just go a little bit, maybe a lot of the first few scriptures is just to lay a foundation again, because that's a lot of what Carl spoke about last week. Just the foundations of new extreme makeover, being new before God, or can God make us new? You know, I always, or not that I've had any experience in any other religions at all. I was just I grew up in a Christian home, so that's what I was exposed to. I wasn't a Christian when I was like in my teens, but then I became a Christian. So I'm only exposed to Christianity. That's all I'm exposed to. But if you read about other religions, etc., there's a lot of differences. But Christianity stands out for a few reasons. But one that stands out for me is that it's based on grace. It's not based on what you as a person do and achieve, because the whole world pushes us in that direction. You need to perform, you need to comply to these set of rules, then you'll be a better person. I remember we were in Bali surfing. It's cool, I can say that. But that was long ago. I would like to go again. But that specific island was Hindu. All others were Islam, Muslim mostly. And they had to, sometimes I get myself and I think, why am I talking about this? But anyway, let me finish at least the sentence. Hindus, they had to constantly have these food offerings at night. They would burn rice and I don't know what. So I think we spoke to the one lady once and no, they have to do that to keep their gods happy. And so there's all kinds of other religions. I've heard about people in Tibet, they have to climb up a mountain, Muslims have to go to Mecca, etc. Do things to make their God happy. Do things to please Him. Do things for them to earn their salvation. And Christianity is the opposite. It smacks you right in the face, saying, if you read Scripture and it's revealed to you, it says, you're not going to make it. You're just not good enough. Sorry to say, but you have mistakes, you have all of this, and when God, that's part of what Carl's sermon was last week, is some people don't know, it's easy, use the example, somebody is drowning, he knows he's drowning, he needs help, but some people just drift off in the ocean, they don't know, it's scary yet, but to know that you need a Savior, then it's so easy to accept. My point was that being exposed to the gospel, it shows us how fallible we are as human beings, and we realize, and that's where we need to trust God to get us to a place, but we can't do this. What now? And then the gospel comes, which means good news, and it says, I paid for you. I did it all. So I give you. I give you new life. I give you salvation. You don't earn it. Are you with me? That's why it's so different. That's why it's amazing. And do you know, I've been a Christian for many years, but it's amazing how that simple revelation constantly humbles me. You go to a men's camp and you just experience God's goodness and unmerited favor again. And you're like, why are you like this, God? Because the life and the world is set up differently. You have to do things and then you get you win a trophy or you achieve something and people pat you on the back, and God doesn't work like that. He says, I love. He says, yeah, I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying, but He's just different. And that's why the gospel is so easy. It's just that simple message. But when God infuses that message with His Holy Spirit, then we're like, amazing. Okay, let me read some of my scriptures that are on my notes. And not just talk. Okay, so we're talking about new desires. I'm just going to go a little bit again, but we have to get to the place, maybe that's why I said all of this, is that it's a place where it's not a process of being obedient certain things and then we're achieving this new life, this new thing. It is a place where we realize, oh my word, we are spiritually dead towards God. That's what the first scripture says. And I need to be made completely new, not by myself, but by God. Okay, Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 3. And you, He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Okay, so what does this mean? Before we met God, were we physically dead? No, we were physically alive. So what does the scripture say we were dead? What was dead? Spirit was just dead. So it says, we were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you were once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. I'm just looking here for the, in the Afrikaans, it says the... So I can't find it now. But anyway, that scripture there says, we are bound in this sinful lifestyle of ours. And we can't get out of it. And I just want to say that if you read a scripture like that, it would be easy for us to say, okay, but that's for the big sins, you know. That's the big stuff it's talking about there. Son, spirit, disobedience. You know, it's just the small stuff also. It's the small stuff of being disobedient, not acting in love. Sin means missing the mark. That's what it means. Sin doesn't mean when you steal or kill or destroy. That's part of sin. But sin, the definition for the word sin means to miss the mark. What mark? God's purpose for your life. And you know what? Every time you're not as good as a father as you should be, or a husband, or you lie, or you get cross, or you get angry, you miss the mark. You miss that bullseye. You miss it. And so, I'm just trying to say that it's not only when we think of the big sins, it's just the small things in life. And this scripture says we are bound to it. We're like, we can't get out of it. And I remember, okay, let me first read a few more scriptures, then I'll summarize. John 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Yes. It's something we can't break out of. We are in bondage. I remember that as a varsity. Yes. You've probably heard my varsity story too many times, but you know what? Just you can hear it again. But, amen, Saki, you too. Not everybody has experiences like that, but you see who you are as a person before you meet Christ. And because I had this, you know, overall Christian input in my life, I knew I was wrong, but I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't break out of it. I wanted to be a better son in the house. I wanted to be, yes, that's all I was at that moment. I wasn't a husband or a father yet, but I couldn't get out of it. And this scripture says, we are slaves. John 8, verse 44, you are, sorry, this is not a hard scripture, don't cry. I'm just trying to paint a picture. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. There's another scripture where Paul says, the things you want to do, you don't do, etc. My point is, we are in bondage. We are slaves to sin, but when Jesus saves us, he sets us free. And he sets you free from that bondage. How does he do that? Carl spoke about it. Your spirit gets reborn. That's why that first scripture speaks, dead in your trespasses, spiritually dead. So what does God make new? Not the flesh. Sometimes I wish he would do that. But I'm still okay, I guess. But I would like to be 6'5" and have lots of muscles. But God doesn't change that. The gym does that a little bit. But God makes the spirit new. Your spirit. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, just one scripture, but there's other scriptures that where Jesus says, our spirits get reborn. And sometimes when you're an unbeliever, or you don't know Christ, you know, have you seen it? You sometimes share spiritual things with people, they just don't get it. Because these spirits are not awake to it yet. Okay, that's not the end of the world, because we can trust God that the Holy Spirit brings the conviction, so that when we speak to people, the Holy Spirit convicts them and brings that uneasiness in their lives, and then they can respond. Okay? But are you with me that we're talking about new life? The foundation I just want to lay again is, it is God that needs to make you new. God doesn't fix. I guess he does, but he doesn't fix the old, he doesn't panel beat the old broken car. He gives a new one. So the question that I just want to throw out there, and I need to throw it out, is how do we, and it's for Christians and anybody that's here, it doesn't matter, is how do we look now that we say that we are Christians? Do we look different to the person that was not a Christian? Can people see the newness in us? Can they experience it? And listen, relax. God also takes us through a process where He changes us. But God doesn't, like I said, panel beat the old thing. When we come into contact and we get reborn, the Spirit of God regenerates our spirit. It's a different person that stands there. And it can happen in a day, in an instance. It can happen like to some of the men, I'm sure, and I've heard stories like this, well, not personally, but somewhere I heard it, after the men's camp. The men would go home. Now, if someone got saved, and the ladies at home would say, okay, this is a different man that's back. I've heard of stories of that was more when people went through deliverance, etc. But then when they came home, the wife said, oh, this is a new man. That's what Jesus does. Doesn't it excite you? Because when we get confronted with our own fallible nature and our own mistakes, we can always have this hope that we can look toward and say, okay, God, but you started it. You said you're the author and the finisher of my faith. Yeah. So you started something. Now experience something that's, wow, God, help me. And then that same God with that same Holy Spirit will come and He says, I'll change you with you. Amen. So we're talking about new desires, but I cannot talk about that unless you get this concept that God needs to make you new. Because then the new desires come. What are some of the new desires that we should have? And we should work at this, and we'll look at this scripture. Colossians 3, verse 2. Is it 2? Yeah. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So it says, verse 2, I read verse 1 there. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So remember when we said God, we were dead in our trespasses. Now when we get reborn, this scripture says we are dead to those things. Verse 12 says, it says, put your mind on the things that are above. What are those things? Verse 12, put on then, as God chooses one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Verse 13, you don't have it up there, just listen. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint amongst another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has given you, so that you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Amen. So it starts off there in verse 2, and it says, set your minds on the things that are above. Our desires should be, and if we are not there this morning, if you're struggling with that, that's fine, but just work towards that. But our minds must be in the things that are above. I don't have every day like that, but I remember coming from the men's camp. Nobody could get me upset for about a week. It just couldn't happen. You could try, and believe me, people tried. But it is just because you're so close to God, and your mind is set on what happened there and on the goodness of God and what He's done, and you live differently. Now, the challenge is, and the sad thing is that, Theo, why don't you stay there? But that's what the scripture says. We live there where we cultivate the desires of God, and they are compassionate hearts, kindness, etc. And then it summarizes it with just love. And also what I like is bearing with one another. If one has complaints against each other, it's the love of God starts to infuse us, and the desires of that are on God's heart starts infusing our lives, and that is what we live out. That's what people see amongst us, and that's what they should see. So the other question I could ask is, you know, but don't feel condemned. Just work at it. We all have make mistakes. But when people come in contact with us, what do they experience? What do they see? You know, there were testimonies like that. At the men's camp also, where people came to Christ, or they came to this church because they saw somebody and they said, what? There's something different about you. There's an, you know, everything in the world hates you. I mean, why are you so righteous? Why are you so holy? Why are you so loving, etc.? So they, like, But there's something that attracts them and says, but that's the truth. This guy's got something. I want to see what it is. And then they come to church. I do want to. I don't want to blow my own whistle. But my brother came to Christ. I always say it. Not because I preached to him long ago. He came to Christ because he saw a different view. And he couldn't understand what happened to this guy. I need to figure out where he changed. You know, and I praise God, I didn't do anything. Because I, in my that state of my life and that stage of my life, I tried to change myself constantly because I could see that I'm hurting people around me and I'm hurt, but I just couldn't do it. Jesus came, changed, and people around me could see it. Do people see it in our lives? I'm just preaching this to you, saying that if you get close to God, you get the desires of God in your heart, you desire after Him and the things that are above, just spending time with God, you're gonna be attractive for the broken. Are you with me? The world will hate you, will hate us always. I'll get to that a little bit later. But they'll be attracted to that love that shines through our lives. Amen? I want us to embrace that. All right. Anyway, a few more scriptures. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. We're talking about new desires. And I am actually not going to mention too much about new desires. I want to almost give you a recipe, kind of how you can make sure that you change your desires in life to become very godly. Something that happens is, well, okay, let's read. Ezekiel 36, 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from you, from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Like I said in the beginning, lots of other religions, it's about what I must do to make my God happy. This scripture just throws all of that out of the bus and says, no, wait. I will sprinkle you. I will make you clean. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. I'll remove that heart, and I will make you, cause you to walk on my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That's good stuff. If you're sitting here this morning and you're hearing this, or maybe you're not a Christian, or you're a Christian, it's fine when the Holy Spirit convicts us. He must do that. Or that must happen when He convicts us of our wrongdoings or our shortcomings, etc. It must happen first. But then secondly, what should happen is, if we walk with God, is an excitement. Not saying, oh, how am I going to figure this out? How am I going to get this right? An excitement where God will do this in your life over and over and over. And He says, I'll sprinkle you. I'll wash you. I'll make you clean. I'll make that heart soft. In this first service, I shared it also. Shared it again. I will also be lying if I say that one progresses in years as a Christian, that you don't sometimes struggle again later on with getting cross or angry or losing your cool, or, you know, because life puts pressures on us, especially if you grow up, you get, and responsibilities get added to your life. There's pressure. And so it is tough sometimes, and we do lose it. We could make a mistake every now and then. But the difference that I wanted to share here, the difference between, I'm not saying we're going to be faultless here, but the difference where I just want to differentiate from the theo before God and the theo after God is, I remember sitting in my varsity room and feeling just so empty. And at home, I just feeling, oh man, there's this strife between me and my mother, and I know I cause it. And I'm this aggressive type of person. And I'm like, but because my dad was such a good example of a godly man, then I'm like, what? But I can't change. Why? Ugh. I'm trying to be different, but I can't be. And I could just feel this emptiness between me and God. Is my mic going? Can you hear me? This emptiness. I'm not close to God. There's no connection. And I remember sitting there and watching, had this amazing view at the varsity window, and I felt, oh man, what? And luckily God sent somebody came to me, and he spoke to me that evening. I didn't get saved right there, but it was just God preparing me. My point is, yes, I do make mistakes still now, but that emptiness, that loneliness, that strife, it's gone. I don't have that. I know I disappoint God every now and then, but I'm not an enemy of God. I'm a child of God. I can feel that. I feel convicted when I make mistakes, but I'm not empty. I'm full of God. How are you this morning? Do you feel that you've got peace with your God, with your Maker? It's different. It's a difference between that and just walking with God and asking God to cleanse us and make us better. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I'm almost finished. And unlike Yaku, when I say that, it is actually close. No, goodness. Sorry, there's 2 pages left. I did lie there.
Amen.
Amen. Nazai Saki. Titus 3, verse 4 to 5. When the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to just, the second last topic is this, desires, we're talking about desires, the desire to be separated by God. I don't know if it makes sense, but I'll read a few scriptures, but the desire to be, this scripture talks about, there's different vessels in our house. Some are made for lesser tasks and some are made for greater tasks. The point is, part of being Christian is God says, I want to separate you and I want, because I want to use you. I want to use you for a specific task. You're not that just that little normal cup you buy at Spa for $5. You're part of this porcelain, I don't know what expensive cups are, but you are made specific for a specific deed. And God says, I want to separate you. And I want you to see that I separate you from this world because I want you to use you. And that desire must be in our lives. Like, God, separate me. Not from the world, but separate me so that I can understand and hear your will and be used for your will, for your perfect purpose in life. Amen. And our desire should be, that's one of our, I would say, the major desires. It's like, God, I just want to be close to you so that I can hear you because you've called me to be separate, to be a holy, clean vessel. In other words, yes, God wants us to save us from that sinful, horrible situation we were in. But to what? Just so that we feel better until he comes back? No, he actually has a better and bigger plan for you. He wants to separate you. You are holy. And he wants to use you mightily.
Amen.
And our desire must be. And that desire, I also just have to say, only comes when we get close to God. When we get close to God, everything sorts itself out. Let me just put it that way. You change because God shows you he's loving. And that's when we change. And when we get close to God, he will start putting those desires in our hearts to fulfill his will. Because it's just a father that is so loving. It's like we want to do everything for him. Amen. So, God wants to separate you. Where is God with you and your process of separation at this moment? We are all at different stages. But I want you to think, God, what is it that's next for me? Where do you want to take me? I'm just going to skip Romans 8, verse 11. I'm not going to read that now. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and believing truth. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit and bring holiness to completion in the fear of God. Now, the process of separation starts with, well, it is the same. It's this process of becoming holy and holy. But hopefully I laid a good enough foundation for you to say that if you do that in the flesh and you just try and do better, 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 you're going to get nowhere. But if you do it in the spirit, God does say in his word that he wants us to become holier and holier. Less and less full of sin. But I don't even know if the focus is on the sin, but just become closer and closer to God. So we cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God, so that we can have separate lives that are like just ready to be used by God. How is your process of sanctification? And it's not something that we can put on people. But in my own life, I can tell you a little bit how it worked. But I became a Christian, and I knew for certain a few things that are wrong and I should stop doing, and I stopped that immediately. But some other things God had to work with me, and he had to reveal to me later when I was ready. It didn't take 10 years, so I have to admit that. But he had to reveal to me a little bit later, Theo, that's also wrong. Oh, process of sanctification. Okay, God, help me. Help me with that again. Then later on, something else. Okay, God. And I just want to say that I'm forever thankful that I didn't have a bunch of Christians that walked into my life day one and told me, you know what, we can see there's 20 things that's wrong in your life. Because what does that help? Because if it doesn't come with a conviction of the Holy Spirit, nothing changes in any case. But my point that I want to make to you is, trust God that irrespective of where you are, that he will take you through this process of sanctification. And he will reveal to you, I want you to change this. And sometimes, at some stage, it's not going to be a specific sin. It just will be where God says, come closer to me in this area of your life, etc. Are you with me? So, let's embrace this process of separation. Amen. Where am I now on my notes? Don't worry, I'll get there. Yes. Romans 6, verse 19. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So the very first scripture, or the second scripture, said that we are slaves to sin before we meet Christ. This scripture says, now I'm a slave to righteousness. Amen? And I like what Mark's saying there. We're children of God. We can and should every now and then tell the devil, listen, I know I made that mistake. I know I've got those mistakes. Can you just get out of my way now? Because the blood of Jesus Christ covers me. And this scripture says, this one, I'm a slave to righteousness. He will constantly try and convict you of your mistakes just to get you to not move. I'm not saying that we should live in sin that we know is in sin, but he will constantly convict you with that voice. You can't, you're not worthy, you shouldn't be doing this. How can you speak to people? You've got 40 issues. That needs to be made quiet, and you tell him that you're a slave to righteousness, because we are going to operate, be used by God until the day he comes back, and we'll still have issues. We'll still have shortcomings. We'll still have sin in our lives. Do we have to wait until he comes back? No, we have to do it now. But it's a process where we walk with God and we make the devil quiet and we just walk in our authority. Amen? Amen? Okay, now I'm almost finished. Romans 12, verse 1-2. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and accountable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world. So I'll almost finished off by saying, I started asking in the beginning, do we look different? Are we different than just your normal person on street? This scripture says that we do not get conformed to this world. Does Jesus take us out and we all go and live on Flotskasbaken? No offense to the Flotskasbaken people. But God doesn't call us out. Oh, did I step on some toes now? No, I hope not. But he doesn't call us to go and separate ourselves somewhere where, no, I shouldn't even indicate that way, because Flotskas is that way. But where we go and live separate as Christians and we don't mix with the world. No. He says, we're in the world, but do not be conformed to it. Our desires should not mix with those worldly desires. I want to use this example again. I saw a YouTube clip. If you ask me, I'll give it to you. I don't want to say who it was. It was a very anointed man of God that had a lunch with another pastor of a church. And this other pastor convinced him, or tried to convince him, that Islam and Christianity is not so different. And this guy almost fell off his chair and he had to calm his wife down. Saying, but how do you get there? There's nothing that's the same between our two religions. Nothing against Islam. But they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe that he's resurrected. They don't believe that he's the truth, the way, and the life. How can you say we're close? And his point was that there's some churches, there's some Christian followings, etc., that are now so mixed with the world, we can't separate the two. We can't figure out which one is which one. So there's nothing in Scripture that I'm trying to say this morning that says that we must mix with the world and our standards and the godly standards must come down to that level. No, not at all. But we must go in there, but our values, our desires do not change because God does not change. And this nonsense nowadays, our church must be relevant and whatever. Oh, I can get cross all over. What does relevance mean in any case? Let me not go there too much. But a lot of the gods that people create nowadays is just the God they want him to be. I mean, and my point with all of that is a God should tell you who you should be, not the other way around. I mean, then he's not a God. A God must tell me how I should look like. And I know him, but he's also loving. Amen. And it's okay to hear from him, to tell me where I should change. Anyway, there's so many people that say, well, I believe this and leave this. And say, okay, where did you get all of this? They sometimes take aspects of 20 different religions. I like that of this one and this one. I don't know. God should, in my eyes, a God should be the one that tells us what to do. Amen. Amen. The last scripture. All right, I'm finished. New desires. A desire to be separated by God. I'm just going to try and summarize my sermon here. A desire for the things that are above. Setting our eyes on Jesus. You know, I always am reminded, I still feel it's a word for Shofar Swakop Moon. There's a scripture that says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And then I think the next scripture is, so God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I think so. But my point is, this is a story in the Old Testament where the people didn't believe. And then Moses, if he lifted up this, I don't know what you call it, a scepter, whatever. And that if they looked at that and they believed, then it would get healed. And I believe that God wants us to lift Jesus Christ up. That's what that scripture says. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up in my life, in our lives, where we glorify him and where people look at us and they say, we need this God. And they see they don't mix, you know, they don't mix with this world. They separate. They're without sin for the most part of the world. They've got a holiness about them and they've got an amazing love about them. And God wants us in our lives to be those ones that lift Jesus up so that they can have something to look at, some hope. They are so hopeless. They don't know where to run to. There's so many people with so many broken lives. And we need to try and trust God that we reach like 5 or 10 years on a Sunday, but we need to reach much more with where we go and where we operate in life when we go out of this building. That we can be vessels of honor that separate and set apart for his good works. The last scripture, Romans 7 verse 6. But now we are released from the law. Having died to that which held us captive. So that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. I want to close off with that scripture and I say, everything you heard here today, if it is mixed with the Holy Spirit, it's liberation. Scripture says, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. The Scripture says, we're not bound to the law anymore. We serve in a newness of the Holy Spirit. So I want to leave you with that, is that whatever God has spoken to you with today, I'm going to tell you, you're going to fail miserably if you try and do it in the flesh. But you're going to succeed amazingly, if it is accompanied by the Holy Spirit, because he sets us free. He gives us liberty. And all other religions don't have this thing. They don't have this God that actually says, I come and change you, and I come and give you strength. I do the changing. Amen. Let's stand. I want us to just close our eyes and bow our heads. I want to pray for two sets of people. I'm going to trust God for it. The first set is obviously, if you're here this morning and, you know, I shared that example of me. Although I might have my mistakes now and some stress every now and then, I do not have that emptiness that I had before I became a Christian. I don't have that. I fight my battles still, but I fight it with God. Before that, I had to fight it without Him. And I could feel that emptiness. I could feel that loneliness. So if you're here this morning and you feel like that, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you know that you haven't been born again. You haven't even started the process of this extreme makeover, which is giving your life to Christ. But you want to do that this morning and basically get born again. Your spirit, like I said in the beginning, gets born again. It's dead in trespasses. Now it becomes alive to Christ. If you're here this morning while our eyes are closed and our heads bowed, and you feel like that as an individual, I need to give my life to Christ. Because this needs to start. This struggle in the flesh just needs to end. If that's you, then I just want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody like that this morning that says, I want to give my life to Christ? Is there anybody like that? Amen. Then I'm going to close off in prayer, and then I would like us to do the same as we did in the Afrikaans service. We all struggle with our desires, etc. I think we're all convicted about something this morning. Then I'd just like you to, in groups of two or three or four, you're in church, just pray. And if you feel you can't share it, say, I struggle with this and I want God to change this. Just pray for each other and say, God, we know that you started. You were the author. Finish it, please, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the process you're taking us as a church. We thank you for our church building that's going up. And it's such an amazing walk of faith we're with you. And we can feel your presence. We can feel you're with us. We're thankful, Lord. We're thankful for your presence in our meetings. We're thankful for people coming to Christ. But Lord, and we know you made us new when we gave our lives to you. We pray that you will just continue with that process of sanctification, Lord God, of setting us apart. Pray that you'll make people here aware and just excited about their callings with God. What are you going to do with them? Where are you going to take them? I just thank you for that excitement and a Father that is loving and that says, come on, let's do this. Let's walk this road. So Lord, I just pray that you will change our desires. Complete that work, Lord God. It won't be complete until you come back, but we want to be part of this process where we just daily change and become more like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So just pray for each other, but we are officially finished, and enjoy your Sunday. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.